to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, September 23rd, 2013, and you are listening to episode 69 of our glorious and amazing show. My name is Rob, and joining me as usual is Jason.
I think I'm melting.
You're melting?
I'm melting.
Why are you melting?
Because it's hot in here.
Oh, yeah. It's going to get even hotter.
I know. You just turned off the air conditioner. I'm already melting.
Oh, that's terrible. It is going to get hot in here. But hey, winter is coming. Actually, fall is coming. Hopefully, a month from now, it won't be so bad in here.
Winter is coming. Don't say that.
Actually, my understanding, I haven't read the books. I've finished season two of the show. My understanding is that winter is still coming. It's still not quite here yet.
I've seen three seasons of the show now.
Uh-huh. Winter still
and
hasn't shown
up. The only snow I saw was somebody had a dream.
And there was snow in the dream?
And I think that was in season two.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, there's snow, right, north of the wall.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's different.
But, yeah, so the winter is coming to me is like the cake. Mm-hmm. That's what I think it is. We'll have cake. No. No, we won't. It's a lie.
You know what I think of?
What?
Okay, you know the movie Tremors? Kevin Bacon and Fred Ward. Yeah.
Do I know the movie Tremors?
Right, it's great, right?
It's one of the best movies ever made.
It's fantastic.
I mean, it's terrible, but it's amazing.
No. It is pure gold. Have you seen the sequel, Tremors 2, Aftershocks?
Unfortunately, yeah.
I loved that. I thought it was good. Awesome.
Was Kevin Bacon in that one?
No, it was Fred Ward was in that.
Yeah. Was Reba McEntire still in it?
No. Her husband was.
She was in the third one again, wasn't she? Or no, was that just her husband again?
No. I don't remember. Anyway, doesn't matter. Anyway, so the final scene, spoiler alert to all the listeners out there, if you haven't seen Tremors 2 Aftershocks, this is I'm going to spoil a joke here for you. It's okay, though. It's still a good movie. Okay, so the final scene, they have all the graboid babies trapped in that barn, right?
Uh-huh.
And they plant a bunch of explosives in there, and they're going to set off the explosives. So they set the timer, and they run away, and the guy stops. And they go, no, it's going to be big, keep coming. And then so they keep running, and then the guy stops. No, it's going to be big, it's going to be huge. And so he gets up, and they keep running, and he stops again. And he's like, no, seriously. And at this point, it's like been a long time since they hit the thing to start the fuse. And he's like, no, seriously, you got to keep going. And it's going to be huge. And the kid stops and goes, is it going to be today? That's what I think of when I think of winter is coming. Winter's coming. Is it coming today?
I actually considered not watching the show anymore, only because there's something I'm waiting for to happen. I won't say what it is. I don't want to spoil anything, but there's something that I'm really excited that I think is going to happen on the show.
What?
I'm not going to say.
Okay. Yeah, you shouldn't, because I don't know what you're talking about either.
Well, you actually do, and I don't think I would ruin anything.
But we don't want to ruin it for anybody else out there.
There's a big event that's going to happen on the eventually. It better happen, because if it doesn't actually happen, I'm going to be really annoyed.
Well, George R. R. Martin likes to draw things out.
Yeah.
Is my understanding.
But I've been told that as of the last book that's been written, it still hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. I think
that's
I know what you're
really
about then,
frustrating.
Yeah.
So, so anyways, back to a regular rail topic. So, what have you been playing?
Well, I, you know, the main thing that's been on our table is Morales again, as usual. And man, what a great game. Great two-player card game. I don't remember how much I've talked about it on the show, but just it's real basic. It's set collection, right? Trying to collect like mushroom sets of three or more mushrooms of the same type. And you're trying to put them down on your table in a pan to cook the mushrooms. Sometimes you can cook them with butter. Sometimes you can cook them with apple cider to add flavor, which gets you more points. You know, it's kind of a dumb theme, honestly, that I don't really care much for.
I think most people aren't a huge fan of the theme that I've talked to.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh,
right. But the gameplay is spectacular. It's really, it's just mind bending and tricky. And sometimes I don't know. It's just really, really good. It's really, really good. And it's easy to replay. And it's good. It's a great game.
What if it was about cannibals?
About cannibals?
That'd be
about
funnier.
Cooking arms and legs.
Yeah.
I'd be more interested in it, honestly.
I mean, it would have to be about, like, untouched peoples who are cannibals. It couldn't be about, like, Hannibal Lecter, right? Because that's not cool.
No. Yeah, no, yeah, like...
It would have
like
to be, like, funny cannibals.
Pygmy peoples. That'd be kind of racist, though, so that's probably not a good idea.
That's why I just said untouched people.
Yeah.
You know, like, people who haven't actually seen newer people like
us. Right, and I said pygmy headhunters, because that's what everyone else was thinking.
I did picture people with the bone to their nose.
Well, yeah. That's what everyone was picturing, I think, you know? I mean, let's be fair. Yeah, no, I don't think you get away with
we're
that
theme,
though.
We're all picturing a Hollywood stereotype. Right. Nice.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've all seen King Kong.
Yeah.
I don't think you could get away with that theme, but I think the game might sell better if it had a different theme.
I don't think you could get away with that theme, but I think it might sell better if you did.
Well, the game would probably sell better if it had a different theme with right. it, you know?
That's, you know, that there's always that argument, you know, of like, these mechanics are really solid. Hey, let's give it a theme that people would like to do, you know? Yeah. But anyways, I digress.
Sure. At any rate, it's a great game, but what I've been spending most of my time on is my PlayStation again. You mentioned last week that you got a PlayStation 3. You've been playing Saints Row the Third.
A lot,
yeah. I have been playing Saints Row 4, which is even better, I think I should say. Now, that's a tough choice, but before I get into Saints Row, I want to mention real quick a game called Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons.
Uh-huh.
Which is a downloadable. It's on PS3 and Xbox. I think it might be on Steam also. I'm not sure. It's a small, short, simple game. It's kind of a little adventure puzzle thing. There's no combat. It's about these. It's a story of these two brothers who are on this quest to find medicine to save their father who's sick. Okay, real simple story. It's got some really innovative, really kind of unique and different controls. You're controlling both brothers at all times. Your right stick moves the younger brother, and your left stick on your controller moves the big brother.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can move them around independently. And then your right trigger is the action button for the little brother, and your left trigger is the action button for the big brother.
So I'm going to guess there's probably things they have to do at the same time.
So right. So it's about coordinating these two guys and doing things together and alternating actions and things. And it's and sometimes it gets kind of mind-bending because you got your right hand trying to control little brother, but he's on the left side of the screen. And so they're going all crisscross and wonky, and it can get kind of confusing and fun. And it's really interesting, though. But the story in it just takes you totally by surprise. I mean, it starts off as kind of cutesy fantasy stuff, and there's some cute monsters and trolls and things in it, and then every now and then something really kind of demented and twisted and a little bit disturbing happens that feels kind of strange and shocking for the mm-hmm. tone of the game that you've been playing so far, but also fits really, really well.
Interesting.
And then just the climax at the end, the story climax, I should say, at the end is just gut-wrenching. Like, I haven't been this emotionally affected by a game since I played Journey last year. And Journey was a super, super uplifting and exciting and triumphant. I mean, it starts as this really... the climax of the game, not to spoil too much for you or anybody else out there, the climax for Journey, you think it's sad and tragic and, oh, man, I failed, I'm a failure. And then all of a sudden, explosion. Oh, this is great. This is the greatest moment of all time. This is the most exciting, thrilling, uplifting experience in video games I've ever had. And Brothers is you're just like, yeah, I'm right. It's like the opposite. You're, yeah, I'm right. I made it. And then, oh crap, what just happened? And it's so sad. It's so sad. It's great.
Wow. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, you should. I think it's like $20 cool. for the download.
And I've got a list of games. So yeah, if I wait, it'll probably be free in a couple months.
Who knows? Yeah. But anybody out there, I think it's available, like I said, I know it's on 360 and PS3. I think it's on Steam also. Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons. Excellent game. Absolutely excellent. It's pretty short, but don't let that stop you. Don't worry about the value proposition, because the story that you get out of that is just magnificent. It's really, really great.
Right.
Okay, so all that said, Saints Row 4 is game of the year. I've been actually waggling back and forth, because I beat both of those games this past weekend.
Uh-huh.
And like, as soon as I finished Brothers, I thought, oh man, game of the year right away, nothing to it. I think I even tweeted that. But stepping back from that after my initial excitement, I'm thinking, man, Saints Row is a great game. It's a really great game because everything about it is so excellent. But I think my favorite part of Saints Row 4 is the music.
Yeah.
And Saints Row the Third handles licensed music really, really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. But 4 is just 10 times better.
I was just in a spot where they were on a mission and yeah. Sublime comes on and the character starts singing with right. it. It was just great.
It's great.
And like, I realize I'm singing with them. Yeah. Like, it's yeah. so cool.
Yeah. And I don't want to spoil, there's a callback to that moment in the fourth movie or the fourth game that I don't want to spoil for you because it's really great. But the opening scene, okay, and this is not a spoiler for you or for anybody else who has not played the game. The opening scene, it's this really exciting, dramatic moment where you're just, you know, you're one guy against the world and you're just trying to, you know, save mankind. And they start playing that Aerosmith song, I Don't Want to Miss a Thing. And it's like, at first you're like, oh man, they're making fun of Armageddon. But then you kind of get into it and you're like, man, wasn't Armageddon great? I mean, Armageddon was terrible, but God, it was so great. And this moment when this music felt, it felt so good. Oh man, this is like better than that. It's like all the same feelings from that movie, but like better, because this is, and that game is just so brilliant in how it handles moments like that. And it operates on that nostalgia that you have within you, you know?
Nice.
That familiarity, that pop culture kind of thing that we've all keyed into with stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And it stabs you in the gut with that and says, ha, gotcha. Isn't this nice. Awesome? And it's so good. It's so good. And ever since, so I played the whole game and I had that song in my head for the entire time I was playing the game. And it was finally starting to fade, and then after I beat the game, in the closing credits, they play that song again. And I have had that, I can't get that song out of my head.
That's awesome.
It's so great.
That's awesome.
And it's an excellent song. But I would sing a few bars here, but I don't think we
Please
can get away with copyright
Please
on that.
Please don't.
Yeah. But yeah, Saints Row 4, top-notch. Absolutely top-notch. As good as the first one. I don't think it's quite as long as... the third one. The previous one. I don't think it's quite as long as the previous one.
Okay.
But it's still every bit as fun.
I can at least say when I'm playing the third one, I mean, certainly, I don't want to close my eyes. I don't want to fall asleep. Because, I mean, I just don't want to miss a thing. So...
Yeah, right.
See how I did that?
That's good, yeah. I don't want to close my eyes. I don't want to fall asleep because I'd miss you, babe. And I don't want to miss a thing.
Yeah, that's right.
And even if I dreamed of you, the sweetest dreams would never do.
Never do.
Because I'd still miss you, babe. And I don't want to miss a thing.
And we mean that to all you listeners out there.
I don't want to close my eyes. Oh, I can't stop it. Oh, it's in there.
Wow. Okay, so hey, I've been playing.
What have you been playing?
I've been playing Dwarven Minor.
Oh, yeah, great.
We were going to try and play it together. We didn't get to.
Yeah.
So I read the rules. I tried it, you know, before, and I was reading back to the rules again. And so first of all, the game is really fun. It's it seems so simple. Like most of the rather dashing games, like that I've tried. Well, so two of them. But when you read the instructions, you're like, these instructions make this game sound so easy and so straightforward and so simple. And whoever writes their instructions should win like some award for writing, like a Pulitzer for writing instructions, because they're just so stinking clear.
Good.
And it sounds so simple. And I mean, you read the instructions and you go, I know how to play this game. It's been 5 minutes. Like, let's go play this game. This is so easy. And then you play the game and you're like, this game is so complicated, but it's not, it was easy to learn because the instructions were so good.
Hmm.
You know, having talked about Kanzumi Goddess and how terrible the instructions were.
Yeah.
You know, it's just always great. I mean, because instructions are usually hit or miss. At best, instructions are usually understandable.
Mm-hmm.
Their instructions are just, they're just so stinking easy to understand. And I just, I don't get how they do it. I mean, lots of editing, I guess. And they must have who, I would love to know who writes their instructions on their team. But the game is cool. It's the simple idea is just that you are mining for resources, and you're collecting those resources in a backpack and or your vaults, which is very WoW style, which I love that. Like it feels like World of Warcraft in that. And then you've got these patron cards in your hand that are different, like barmaids or heroes and stuff. And you're making items for them, and the items are all spread out on the board, and there's a purchase price on the items, and you pay those resources and you take that and you put that in your vault, and then when you get two of them or however many are on that patron's card, you play the patron. The patron has a special effect that helps you or screws someone else, and you know, some of the effects are straightforward and like, oh yeah, this is cool, this gives me, and some of the effects are like, and I just screwed you, so deal with that. You know, it's it's just great. Oh, it's a really good game. They continue to impress me with their games.
Good. Cool.
So
that's great to hear. Yeah, I still really want to try that. I was bummed we ran out of time the other night and we couldn't get it out.
I promise you're going
to
love it.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to have another game night where we don't play test anything, where we just play some real freaking games.
It's really tough though, because
it is,
because we don't, you know, the only other time we can play test stuff is at work on lunch, and I mean, as we found out last time we tried to do Maelstrom, it's tough to get a whole game done, and you know.
Right.
So
yeah, so we need to try and do that. But good. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that.
So let's move to the feature of the week.
Feature of the week. Sure. Yeah. We were kind of inspired. We were having a conversation the other day, going back to BioShock Infinite, The Siege of Columbia.
Yep.
Yeah. Thinking about that the way we talked about this briefly before, the way how you know, as the players you're playing as the bad guys, the two different factions from the video game, and the two heroes in the video game, Booker and Elizabeth, every now and then they just kind of show up to mess crap up, you know. Sometimes they help you, sometimes they hurt you, sometimes they help your opponent, sometimes they hurt your opponent.
Right.
And maybe both at the same time.
But always they're unexpected.
Right.
And
you never know when or where they're going to show up.
And they change your plans.
Right.
For the good, for the bad.
Right.
They change your plans.
Right. And we were thinking about that and we're thinking, you know, that's really very cool. That's a great idea. It's kind of one of the most interesting features of that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the reasons why I'm so sad that it was so expensive and I couldn't buy it.
Right.
You
yeah.
Because I was really interested to play that more and experience, see how that can affect the gameplay more.
Right. Because, in the few rounds we played, it actually, so like, I quote, won the demo because the demo was to 5 points. And I won because Booker showed up.
Right.
And I happened to have a huge army right next to him.
And you defeated him.
And I defeated him and got a bunch of points.
Right.
Because that happened to be what was on the board as an accomplishment or an achievement or whatever you could get.
Yeah.
So it certainly, even in that short game we played, changed the gameplay.
Yeah.
That's
so
cool.
So it would be cool to play a longer form game and see how else that can affect the game. And so we started talking about, you know, are there any other games out there that use that concept? And I've been struggling to think of any. Have you been able to?
Kind of no, I you know, looking at games that I'm used to, I mean, certainly the closest thing I can come up with that to match that would be like a, what's a good word for it? Event cards in games. Where like, you know, like a weather card in some game. Like, oh, it affects, you know what I mean?
So you could maybe think of in Sentinels the Multiverse, they have the environments. So you're always playing in some kind of an environment. And every round, a new environment card comes in that kind of messes with everybody. So that's kind of a similar concept.
But that also kind of messes with everybody. It's a general global thing.
Right.
This is different than that.
You're right, it is.
This is targeted. That's the closest thing I can think of, though, that I've seen in games before that kind of matches. It's like a generalized version of that mechanic. The interloper idea really takes it to the next level and really makes it more fun, I think.
Adds a wild card in there.
It kind of does. And that wild card, you know, I remember back to our conversations we've had with AJ about Betrayal on House on the Hill that he really likes. And what he really likes about that is all the different scenarios. And Booker in Bioshock, that's how it works. There's like little scenarios. It's like, if this happens, he hits this on this chart, now this happens, you know. And that's that. So it's like that. It allows you to build in even that idea of scenarios, right?
Yeah.
Where you can say, we're going to play with... Now, they don't have this in Bioshock, but you could be like, we're going to play with Booker in the more aggressive format. Like, he's going to be more aggressive this turn, or there's going to be, you know, more interlopers or stronger interlopers. And I think you could incorporate that into a game that would be really sweet, right? To have, I've got this, like, I think he said with Booker and Elizabeth, there were different timelines.
Yeah, and that would correspond with the idea of the game with different...
Times during the game.
Yeah, different tears in the fabric of reality in the game. That's a big feature of the video game.
Okay.
You know, the fiction they have there. Different tears, and you can switch between different realities, and a character in one reality has a different tone or a different kind of a level of aggression or attitude different goals in the different realities.
So that kind of thing, you know, so that may blend into their game. Now, the guy that demoed it for us didn't mention that.
Yeah.
As, you know, levels of difficulty, but
different scenarios might be that way.
Right. That would be an easy way to work that into a game, I think.
Yeah.
Because you have to have a chart that basically says what the interloper does, right?
Right.
Why not have some be harder and some be less, you know? Again, like Sentinels, where you say, we want to make this harder on ourselves this time. Mm-hmm. Let's do it this way.
Yeah.
This boss is harder than other ones.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you have any thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, the game that I was planning on pitching today kind of features this idea a little bit. Maybe I should just go ahead and roll into that.
Yeah, why don't we just kind of make this a big...
One long discussion.
Yeah.
One big subject. Okay, well, yeah. So practicing the pitch here, also featuring our feature of the week. Yeah.
Featuring our feature of the week.
Featuring feature of the week. Week. Weech.
Let's practice featuring our feature of the week while we practice the pitch.
Yeah.
Mind blown.
Yes.
Rob's head just exploded in the studio. It was amazing.
Yes. It's everywhere. It's dripping. That's gross. Okay, I don't really have a name for this game. Let's call it the Ogre Dinner Party. That's a terrible name.
That's a terrible name.
Let's call it Ogre Cake.
That's a better name.
It's a better name. Okay.
Somehow that's a better name.
Right. So this originally was born from a conversation you and I were having. I think you emailed me during the day and said, "Hey, I've got this great idea for a game." But you didn't say what it was. And I said, "Oh yeah, well, how about blah 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 blah," just to kind of be a jerk.
I don't remember why, but yeah, I said something about, was this when I said we should talk about the intro? No,
it was before that.
It was after that. I don't remember.
It was after that, but I mean, obviously that had been bouncing around in my head. So I just kind of like spit out some crap into an email, and then after, and I sent that to you, and I don't remember what you said, but I kind of read back over it after, and I was like, actually, that's not a bad idea.
Right. It was funny because I thought you were serious because it was a decent idea, and then you replied back and said, this is actually a decent idea.
Yeah. So the players are ogres, all right? And ogres are greatly misunderstood creatures.
Right.
You know, I mean, everybody thinks ogres are terrible, terrible things, but, you know, they're just people. Like, you know, Shrek was an ogre, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe not ogres.
Yeah, I did not click until you said, you said ogres are misunderstood, and I was like Shrek. Yeah, you got to change that.
Because the original thought was trolls, but I thought, you know, trolls maybe are overdone, so
who
ogres.
Else are misunderstood? Who else is a misunderstood mythical creature?
Gosh.
I feel like trolls aren't misunderstood.
No?
I feel like trolls are just not good.
All right, so let's go back to trolls. See, okay, what I didn't like about trolls is...
I wanted it to be misunderstood.
Well, see, the thing that I didn't like about trolls is that might be a callback to internet trolls, you know? And I didn't want that to be a thing, you know?
What about bugbears?
Bugbears? It's not broad enough. I need it broad.
You could be orcs. Orc cakes.
No,
goblin cakes.
Goblin cakes. All right.
Ooh. Centaur cakes.
Centaur cakes. No.
Centaurs, though, nobody misunderstood centaurs. They just think they're kind of stuck up. Because they're all hippie, woodsy.
They're all hippies. Ogres. Trolls. Let's stick with trolls for now.
Okay.
Okay.
Wait, who's under the bridge? That's trolls, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad, because then you can incorporate bridges somehow.
Somehow. I don't know. Trolls eat rocks, don't they? That was another thing that was bothering me. They throw rocks, but I think also in the mythology for trolls, I think they eat rocks.
Let's just take a break for a moment to tell everybody to go to Netflix right now, pause the show, and go Netflix streaming and watch The Troll Hunter.
Yeah,
because it's one of the best foreign movies I've ever seen.
Troll Hunter is an excellent movie,
and trolls are awesome in that movie. So. Yeah. Go get that movie right now.
If you haven't seen Troll Hunter, go watch Troll Hunter. It is on Netflix streaming. Top notch.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So let's keep saying trolls for now.
Trolls, trolls, trolls.
Trolls. Okay. So the thing is that trolls get a bad rap. They're not such bad guys. You know, they kind of want to be left alone. And surprisingly enough, trolls really like to bake. Trolls love cake. They really like making cakes and eating cakes. Okay.
Sweet.
You know, now you and I would not like these cakes, but trolls like these cakes. And these cakes, because, you know, and different trolls have different preferences, you know, like one troll might like a spider cake with, you know, centipede garnishes on it. Yep. But he really, really, really doesn't like worms.
Right.
You know,
it's understandable.
Right. Now, another troll might really, really like worms and he might like worm cakes and with beetles on top. But he really, really hates rats. You know, he doesn't like the way they taste.
Right.
And they wiggle, you know. So the idea is that the players are trolls. And the trolls are trying to dig up all these yucky, gross little creatures to bake their cakes. Okay? So you're trying to get ingredients to bake your cake. Each troll has a recipe card, and he's trying to make a certain number of cakes that fit this recipe. Or maybe just one cake that fits this recipe. I don't know. We'll see. And so you're just taking turns, and I'm thinking this is set up kind of, it's almost like a memory game, where you have all the cards face down, kind of in the dirt or in the forest floor, and sometimes you're flipping a card, sometimes you pick up that card, sometimes you have to leave that card there, sometimes you flip it up and leave it face up, sometimes you put it back over, sometimes maybe you're just taking a couple cards that are face down, you don't know what you're going to get. Okay, so to be determined, I could use some help with that.
Okay.
Okay. But every now and then, also... a beautiful princess or a brave knight shows up. And what's a troll going to do when one of them shows up? They have to try and kill them, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, they're trolls.
Yeah.
That's what trolls do. I mean, trolls don't necessarily like that, but it's like it's a compulsion. They have to. They don't have a choice.
Well, plus they don't want to eat the cakes, and maybe they're a good ingredient for the cakes.
That could be. I mean, maybe some trolls get a bonus if they get
delicacy.
Yeah, yeah. That actually is a really good idea for to feature in the game. But you know, I mean, it's, and the trolls don't necessarily want to go kill the hero or the princess, because really all they want to do is just make their cakes, you know? But sometimes that stupid hero just shows up and gets in their way. And then they have to go kill that hero, and they can't go back to making their cakes until that hero is gone, until they kill that hero. Meanwhile, all the other trolls, you know, they don't have to mess with the hero because the guy's not in their territory, so they get to focus on getting more pieces for their cakes, more ingredients for their cakes.
Okay.
Okay. So that's was kind of the basic idea, where the players are trolls, and you're just trying to make a cake. And every now and then, a hero shows up to get in your way, and you can't bake your stinking cake until you kill that hero.
Right.
Yeah. That's the basic concept of the game. So that interloper thing kind of got in the way there. It gets into it. And you never know when it's going to show up. Sometimes it might show up randomly. Sometimes you might be able to play that card on one of your other players to get in their way. But I think more often it would just kind of show up.
Right.
And be your problem.
So, okay. Here's some thoughts on how the memory thing could work.
Sure.
That I think would be unique and not really like a standard memory game. Standard memory game, draw two. If they match, you keep them.
Yeah.
Right? So what about this? Round one is the searching round, right? Maybe in this round... Do trolls have good noses?
Yeah, trolls have big noses. They can sniff.
Okay, great. So we'll call this the sniffing round.
Sniffing.
And what's going to happen in this round is there's the forest, right? Which are all your tiles.
Mm-hmm.
The trolls are each going to get two turns around to sniff the forest, which means flip over a tile and leave it face up. Everyone's going to see that tile, right?
Okay.
Everybody goes around flipping over tiles. So if you have a four-player game, eight tiles will be flipped face up, right?
Sure.
If one of those is a night tile, everything stops, and whoever flipped it over has to try and kill it, right?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Okay.
Okay. Or maybe everyone piles on to kill it. I don't know, but it's at that point, someone has to try and kill it. Okay. If they kill it, that space is then empty for the rest of that round. End of the round, after everybody's done their sniffing, flip all those tiles back over. Okay?
Okay.
Now, some of those tiles were obviously things you wanted. Some were things you didn't want. Some you never even got to see, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, on your turn, you get to go dig for ingredients.
Mm-hmm. Scrounging. This is now the scrounging phase.
Yeah, this is the scrounging phase.
Okay. Sniffing, scrounging.
Sniffing, scrounging. The last phase, I would think, is baking. So, while you're scrounging, you pick tiles up, right? So, you can go for ones that you know what they are. Now, maybe you're going for it because you need it. Maybe you're going for it because I know you need it, and I don't want you to have it. Maybe you just love beetles so much, and even though I hate them, I got to get them out of there so you can't get to them. So if I grab a tile, it's mine. I don't have to show anyone. It's just, it goes into my hand. So if you don't remember what tile I grabbed, it's on you. But I can also grab tiles that we never flipped. Now, if I grab a knight or a princess tile during that, it goes in my hand, and you don't know that I have it. And, then I would have the opportunity to later play that tile. Maybe I could play that tile. Here's a thought. No.
So maybe I can play that knight card on you, and while you're distracted by the knight, I can take some of your ingredients.
Or maybe that means I get an extra turn while you deal with that knight. Right? So like, boom, I play it on you. So now you're not going to get to draw something.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm going to get to draw, so is the other players. And then, you know what I mean? So that's basically how we're sealing your ingredients.
Hmm.
Does that make sense? Because you don't know what he has anyways. Well, maybe you do know what he has, if your memory is good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the baking phase would be just putting your ingredients out. Maybe that's when you play the knights, during the baking phase, and try and slow people down when they're baking. Because like you specifically said, you can't bake your cake because the knight is there.
Hmm.
So, see, that could be kind of cool because it's like a risk-reward thing, right? Like, I'm going to, at the beginning of that round, we have to decide if we want to play a knight. Now, if I play a knight, chances are it's going to completely jack you up that round. If you lose, you're going to lose enough ingredients that you will not be able to bake a cake, right?
Right.
But if you win... And the recipe you're going for, because I'm assuming there's recipes you're going for that people don't know.
Yeah.
The recipe that you're going for includes a knight or a princess, mega bonus points.
Oh.
So those would be rare. So you don't always know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That adds some surprise to the game.
What if the only way to kill a knight is throw rocks at it? So you have the choice of either picking up an ingredient or picking up a rock.
Oh, you know? That's simple, yeah.
Because then also, you know, if you get in a fight with a knight and you can't, and you don't have any rocks to defend against him, you have to throw away, discard some of your ingredients because he's going to knock them out of your hand. And each knight is going to have a defense value. And some knights will take one rock to kill, some two, some three.
What if the forest, the outside of the forest, like Catan has the map, and then outside it's ringed with water. What if it's ringed with rocks?
Yeah.
Face up rocks.
Yeah.
And you can pick up a rock. And maybe there are better rocks and, you know, like maybe there are some rocks are better, right?
Mm-hmm. So, rocks and boulders.
Yeah. And so maybe they're face down, actually. Maybe they're face down. The backs of the cards are different.
And you know that they're rock cards.
Yeah, but you don't know what they are. So you could actually choose to turn over a rock card as part of your sniff test, right?
Yeah.
But you don't have to. So, yeah.
See, no, you know what? It seems like all the cards should have a rock on the back. That's what it is. Because you're turning over rocks to see what's under the rocks, see what kind of bugs and creepy crawlies are underneath the rocks. So you're always turning over the rocks. Some of the rocks have bugs under them. Some rocks are just rocks.
That's a good point.
You know?
So you have to remember which one is just a rock.
Right. And you might want some of those.
So you could actually pick those up on purpose.
Right.
To keep in your hand. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And then the backs of the cards, when you've got your hand,
you don't know what they've got.
The backs of the tiles or whatever would all be rocks.
All be rocks.
That's great. Printed.
That's got a lot of potential. So I'm still not sure about the actual gameplay, how a turn is going to roll, because I like that we start with the sniffing.
It feels very thematic too, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does.
The sniff test.
but if you're sniffing, but you're turning over rocks, maybe we shouldn't call it sniffing. Maybe we should call it, you know, rummaging or foraging or
yeah.
So maybe the foraging or
and then collecting. Foraging and then collecting.
Collecting, yeah. And then baking. And I think at any time... Yeah, okay, I like that. So while you're rummaging, if you turn over a knight... If you turn over here, a knight or a princess, then you have to fight them. And if you turn it over, you have to fight them right away.
Right.
Yeah. In the collecting phase, if you turn over a knight or a princess, you... take that in your hand, and then during the baking phase, you can play that on somebody else.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're going to play multiple rounds, because after one round of the game, you're only going to have two cards, and you just need like a minimum of three in order to bake a cake. So nobody's going to be able to bake the first time. Maybe there are some cards out there that give you double the ingredient. So in theory, maybe you could bake on your first round, but not always.
Right.
So you would play... certain number of rounds, and whoever has the most baked cakes is the winner. Or first person to bake their cake. You play as many rounds. No, that wouldn't work. Everybody at the start of the game is dealt three cakes.
Uh-huh.
Three cake recipes.
First person to bake all three
is the winner.
Wins.
That's the way to do it.
Yep.
Yeah. You can have as many cards in your hand as you want.
And you can build as many... You can bake as many cakes as you want per turn.
Right.
As long as you have the ingredients for it. But if you... Knowing that if you bake two right away...
Yeah.
People are going to gun for you because... Right. You baked two cakes already.
Right. And they're going to throw all their knights and princesses at you.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
There's a game.
I like that.
Yeah. So it's a memory take that game.
Yeah.
Memory.
And it's a unique take on memory.
Yeah.
It's really a strategy memory game.
Right.
Because you're automatically looking, you know, everybody's... Yeah. Yeah. I like that, man. I like that a lot, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. That could be fun. Gosh, what's a name for that then? Guys, it's got to be something better than Troll Bakery, Troll Cakes.
I think that, no, because it's three separate bakeries, right? Maybe they're all trying to get a job at a bakery, fancy bakery.
A fancy troll bakery?
So, like, you call it, like... The Hard Rock Bakery or something. Not that, but like that's the name of the game, is the bakery.
Stony Bridge Bakery.
Yeah, like something like
Stony
that.
Stony Bridge
yeah.
Bakery.
Yep. And then maybe like the cover art is like a bakery next to this bridge with the trolls under the bridge, like collecting ingredients, you know?
I think the bakery would have to be under the bridge too.
That could be, yeah.
Hmm.
Have a little chimney on the side of the bridge with smoke coming out. Sweet. That'd be a fun game. Just like you said with me last time, this would be a very easy game to prototype. Yeah.
Troll Bridge Bakery.
Yeah. Because then you've got troll in there, and so people are like, right. Huh? Right. This is like a fantasy game?
The players are playing as the trolls, not as the heroes.
Right.
Yeah. Which is a key thing there. Hmm. Yeah, I kind of like that. That would be really easy to prototype.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, basically, there's no even real balance to find. It's just simple math. Mm-hmm. You say...
You know what? Come think of it. Maybe you don't need separate rock cards.
No, you don't.
You don't, because the back of the card is a rock. So and you can just throw the rocks. It's either use it as an ingredient or use it as a rock to throw at the people. So then you have to decide how many rocks, how many of your ingredients you're going to pitch at the guy to knock him out. So it's not a matter of whether you have... Because like I said, you have to kill that hero.
Right, and you automatically have enough ammo.
Right. It's just a matter of which ones are you going to pitch.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could even have... So the only problem is you need scalability, right?
Yeah.
So what if for every dead knight or princess, the next knight takes more damage to kill or something like that? Like, for every two dead knights or one dead princess...
The trolls in this forest are getting a reputation.
Right. So the bigger people... That way, in the beginning, when I flip a knight, he's got one hit point. I throw a rock at him, he's dead.
Yeah.
Next knight comes, still has one.
Right.
But boom, now there's three knights. Now there's two dead knights. Third knight coming, he's going to have two hit points. So you just scale it so that you never... So you always have enough cards in your hand to do it. But you could get hosed because if you baked two cakes and now you're out of cards, mm-hmm. So I would say like let people even have up to like a 7-card hand for something like this, mm-hmm. just because you know if there's 3 to 4 ingredients for a cake,
yeah,
that would make sense too. Give everybody, you could even give everybody like wasabi does this. With wasabi you can choose the recipes you take,
mm-hmm.
like so I want a 5-ingredient recipe, knowing that it's worth a ton of points if I can build it.
Yeah,
but for this one, maybe give everybody a 3, 4, and a 5, like three pieces.
Or you could do a Ticket to Ride style where you let them draw 5 and keep 3.
Oh, that's even better. You know, yeah. So they can kind of strategize,
right?
So then you could throw in, too, the idea of the delicacy, being able to mm-hmm. bake a knight into the cake.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you might get that and say, keep that?
What Ticket to Ride does is they give you everybody has to take one high-value route, and then you draw 3 low-value routes, and you can keep as many of those as you want.
Okay.
Ticket to Ride. So everybody would have to get, would get one high-value cake recipe, period, and then you give them... 3 more, and they have to pick 2.
Right. So they could get rid of the high value one if they didn't want it.
Right.
Right? They could just keep all the low value ones.
Right, if they wanted to.
But and no one would know what you kept.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah, that's good.
That's fun.
Now, I keep saying knights and princesses, but... Okay, so I think you do have to fight the knight, but it'd be cool if the princess was different, if you had to do something different with the princess. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe you have to pick flowers for the princess. And you have to give the princess flowers.
What if you just... Oh.
Oh?
No. Because then you have to introduce flower cards, and that's a pain in the butt. What about this?
Okay.
You get a princess, you automatically take her hostage. So now the princess is laying in front of you.
Oh,
when a knight shows up...
The next knight has to go
to
you.
Has to come for you.
So now you're the target.
Yeah.
Huh? But if you defeat that knight, you get to use that princess as an ingredient?
Right. So maybe then you don't even have to have, like, she's not a special ingredient. Like, she just, if you bake a cake with a princess, you get, you know, how would that work?
Because it'd be kind of random if you ended up getting a princess.
So what if it was, and since the cakes, the value really doesn't matter of the cakes.
Yeah.
Because in the end, it's just baking the first person to bake 3 cakes. So honestly, the high value cake doesn't even make sense
in
that matter. But what if if you defeat the princess, you could draw 2 ingredients? Like, or you immediately get to draw a free ingredient from the memory pile.
I still feel like there should be some other way to use the princess. Maybe if you turn, okay, so in your collecting phase, if you turn over a princess in your hand, maybe that means you've captured a princess and you can let the princess go to cancel out a knight. You can set her free.
Oh, so she could actually be useful.
She could be useful, right. But what if she's flipped over? If she's flipped over during the rummaging phase, you don't get her right away. It's just everybody knows, hey, there's a princess there. I might want to get that.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so I think the princess cancels out a knight.
I still like the idea that if you have a princess, though... Oh, no, because she wouldn't be in play. Or would you keep her in your hand? Or would you...
Keep her. Well, maybe it's not about who bakes three. Maybe it's just about when the deck runs out, whoever has the highest point value of cakes. And maybe you could use a princess as an ingredient in your cake.
Okay. Oh. I was going to say, alternatively, you could use her as a shield, but she's also a magnet. So if I draw a princess, I have to lay her face down in front of me, face up in front of me, which means the next knight will attack me, mm-hmm. but he's just going to leave. So no matter who plays a knight, it's going to attack me. But it's not going to do anything.
Wait, what's the point of that then?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
never mind. That's not in my head when I was thinking that. I thought this could be really strategic, but it's not.
Okay. Hmm. So you would have to decide if you want to use that princess, if you want to, because you want her hair for your recipe. You don't want to kill her necessarily.
Right.
Because she's so pretty, you know?
Once you cut all her hair off, nobody's going to come save her.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. So you want her hair, her blonde hair for your cake. Maybe pie. Is pie better than cake? Troll pies? Troll cake? I think I like cake better.
I think cake is more fun because pies are what everyone would think.
Yeah. I like
the idea of like baking someone into a pie. Like, didn't that witch do that in Hansel and Gretel? She tried to do that.
Yeah.
Whereas with this, it's like, it's cakes.
Yeah. It's cakes. Okay. Yeah, I like that.
I think that's worth prototyping.
I think so.
Just because I think it'd be fun to try.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, yeah. Good.
Cool.
That was fun.
That was fun.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, we should wrap this up.
We should.
This might be a little bit of a short episode for you guys. But
sorry. We're also melting in here.
It's very hot.
It's really hot.
We want to give one more shout out to our BTG Kanzumi Goddess giveaway contest. You guys are going to have about a week left on this one. We want to know what to call our fans. Fans of Star Trek are Trekkers or Trekkies, you know. What do we call our fans? Email us your suggestions. We will review them all and pick our favorite. The winner will be sent our copy of Kanzumi Goddess. I know. It's a terrible prize. But it's not about what you win. It's about the joy of winning.
That's right.
And we will be saying, we will be thanking our fans using the word that you suggest to us on every show in the future.
And that's the real,
that's the real price. And we'll send you some dice too.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. And remember the deadline is October 1st, 5 p.m. EST, because we will be recording that night. So we are going to finalize our pick right then and announce it, which means it should be announced on that the episode.
Following weekend.
That's the hope.
5 p.m. on October 1st, Eastern Standard Time. Get it in there. We will send you a copy, our copy of Kanzumi Goddess. We will not autograph our copy, though, because we don't really want to be a part of that. We don't want to endorse the game.
That's right.
So, if you want to enter the contest, you can email us. You could actually just email us anything. Even if you don't want to enter the contest, you can just ask us questions or talk to us. buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com. You can also leave comments on this show, buildingthegamepodcast.com. We will read any comments that you've got. We haven't got any comments in a little while, so we want some.
Yeah.
Send us some, please. You can also follow us on Twitter @podcastBTG, and Jason is @JASlingerland, and I'm @poorly_designed. You can also like us on Facebook, get us to 200 likes. We'll release another print and play, and it'll be very exciting. Don't forget to watch BTG Co-op website for future episodes of Something From Nothing, our live streaming web chat with our fellow game designers. We've got different guests every week where we talk about the game projects projects we're working on right now and kind of bounce ideas off each other and help each other work out problems. That's something new that we're doing.
Every other week.
Every other week. Thank you. Yeah. Every other week. So you can check for old episodes of that on the co-op site and watch for announcements about future shows. That's going to be every other Sunday at 8 o'clock Eastern time. So we would love it if you could hang out with us on that. You can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. We always appreciate that. And you can come on back all the time and party with us
via
audio while we're not actually interacting. But, you know, you can pretend that we're partying together while you're listening to this.
Yeah.
Because we're pretending we're partying right now.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. So thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you later.
Good night.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios.
All the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are the property of the Building the Game podcast.
Next time on Building the Game.
Oh, well, I mean, there's snow, right, north of the wall.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's different.
But to cut the show, I'm talking about... No, like, I thought season one, I was like... And you've seen season two, right?
Yeah.
In season two,
right.
Of the...
It still hasn't happened yet.
No. Oh, I'm so mad.
Yeah.
But if that storyline does not happen, people are going to rage.
Yeah. In that show?
Well, the good news is... Because George R. R. Martin likes to draw stuff out so much,
right.
It's... Stuff happens, and then a book later...
Anyway, cut back to the show.
I want to punch that guy in the head.
Yeah.
You put that in the show.
I might. I probably will.